Congregation, please open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. While you're opening your Bibles, I'd simply like to make a note regarding the song which we just sang. That which we just sang is a very, very old piece. At least the lyrics of what we sang is very old. Unfortunately, in being translated from Latin into English, we miss out on something that takes place in the original. You will notice, if you look at that hymn, that every verse refers to Christ using a different title. In the original Latin, there were seven verses, and each title that spoke of Christ was also an acronym. So the first letter, O come Emmanuel, E, the second letter, Redeemer, and it went through, and as the people would sing one verse per night as they prepared for Christmas Day, each verse spelled out a phrase. As you go through in the original Latin, it spelled out the words, tomorrow I will come. We sing this, it's not exactly a Christmas song. It's an Advent song because we are waiting for Christ's coming. As the people of the Old Testament waited for His coming, well, thankfully, congregation, Christ has come. We no longer need to wait. But we will be studying this evening from the life of someone who did wait for the Christ. Luke chapter 2. We will read from verse 22 through 40, but we'll be focusing in on verse 25 through 35. 22 through 40, we'll focus in on verse 25 through 35. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took up him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. As far as God's holy, inerrant, and perfect word, brothers and sisters, let's pray. Lord God, we come before you this evening and we pray that you would open our eyes to see the Christ, the light of revelation, the glory of his people. Spurned and rejected, yet King of all creation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a very famous saying, looks can be deceiving. Looks can be deceiving. And what's meant by that phrase is that we can often become caught up with the appearance of somebody and judge them according to their appearance rather than who they really are. You see, the way that they style their hair, the way that they dress themselves, and you begin to judge them or draw certain conclusions about this person. Those conclusions may or may not be correct, and more often than not, they are incorrect. Because we boil down the individual to the way they look. This was also true, certainly, congregation, during the life of Jesus Christ, and particularly at his birth. Consider our passage tonight. Jesus was only about 40 days old when his parents took him to be presented in the temple. He was a squalling infant, unable to speak, unable to sit up, sleeping most of the time. There was nothing that would call attention to him or set him apart from other infants. His parents were poor newlyweds. Verse 22 through 24 says about them that they offered certain sacrifices that were for those who were in poverty to offer. When Christ came into his temple, the place that was built for his worship for the first time, there was no fanfare, there was no special celebration for him, there was no throne prepared for him. He was given no robe of honor. The priest didn't come forth and fall down before him. The temple did not quake. Smoke did not fill to announce the presence of God. To every outward appearance, the son of Mary and Joseph was like any other infant. If someone were to look upon this child, with physical eyes only, they would be deceived by his humble and his quiet appearance. And that's what we see really in the background of this text. No mention is made of the priests recognizing him. Two people do. They're not the people that you would expect. They are not those who were trained. They were not those who truly were in the service of the temple. Rather, we have an old man and an old woman. The same is true, congregation. For all those who look upon Jesus without the eyes of faith, being deceived by appearances, they will not recognize Christ for who he truly is. But here in this passage we have someone who did recognize Christ even as an infant. Therefore, let us examine what Simeon saw in Christ. I'm going to show you through this passage three things that the passage reveals to us. First, congregation, Simeon's situation. Simeon's situation. Second, Simeon's Savior. And third, Simeon's stumbling block. We begin with Simeon's situation. Look with me at verse 25 through 28. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took up him in his arms and blessed God. Congregation, Luke begins for us this evening by setting up the situation. Joseph and Mary have come into the temple. They have done so in accordance with God's law. Things just happened, at least from their perspective of things, to have shaken out in the way that they did. Jesus was about 40 days old. It was time to bring him into the temple. But as soon as they enter into this temple, there's a man there named Simeon. And to be honest, brothers and sisters, we don't know an awful lot about the man except that which Scripture tells us. There have been a few theologians who have tried to identify this man with one or another historical figure. Some especially believe this man to be the father of Gamaliel. These identifications are a little shaky. We don't know who this man was. Everything we know for certain we find in this passage. And yet, this passage does tell us the important details of Simeon's life. The first thing that Luke tells us about Simeon is that he was a righteous man, as verse 25 says. This man was just and devout. He was a man known for his love of God, his reliance upon God. He was a man just, a man who relied upon God for salvation. He was a man who hated sin. And he shows his righteousness here, congregation, through the fact that he was a man defined by his expectation. Defined by his expectation. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, for Jesus, the Christ, to come. Simeon had read the Old Testament. He had read from the prophets. He knew of the promises that God had given to his people. Promises of a coming Messiah. Promises about the Son of David. Promises of a coming king and teacher. He had likely read from the book of Daniel, which told the Israelites to expect Christ at about that time. And so Simeon, this man who appears to be very old, is waiting. Luke tells us here that Simeon, furthermore, was a man that was Spirit-filled. Every true Christian receives the work of the Holy Spirit. And so too, Simeon here, it says, was that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Luke certainly has in mind here, however, something more than that work of the Holy Spirit in giving us a new heart and in sanctifying us. Simeon had a blessing that many people in his day did not receive, the blessing of prophecy. He had received a promise from the Holy Spirit, the promise that he would not see death until he had seen Christ. This was a man devoted to one thing, focused in on one thing. The way that Luke speaks here and the way that Simeon will speak a little later on make it seem that Simeon was pretty old. There's a sense in which it's almost as though Simeon clings to life for this purpose and for this purpose only, to see the one that the world had been waiting for. To see the promised Redeemer. We just sang, O come, Emmanuel. And this was Simeon's prayer. There's a sense in which it's almost as though Simeon has a bucket list. There's only one thing on there, to see Jesus. And he is just sitting there with pen in hand, waiting for the moment to scratch that off his list. And one day, Congregation Simeon's hope is fulfilled. Verse 27 tells us that he came by the Holy Spirit into the temple, both by God's word, which he had studied, and by the work of the Holy Spirit in his heart, confirming the truth of Scripture. Simeon knew to expect Christ. When he entered the temple, therefore, brothers and sisters, he was not merely looking around with his physical eyes. On the contrary, he looked for Jesus with the eyes of faith. He didn't come into the temple with the idea that he would see a strong and a powerful king. He didn't come into the temple looking for a man with a halo. He didn't come into the temple looking to see someone powerful. He came trusting in God's word. And by the confirmation of the work of the Holy Spirit, waiting for whoever might appear. Friends, everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ can be compared to Simeon here. Those who belong to Christ do not do so because they have seen Jesus with their physical eyes. Certainly, there were many people during Jesus' life who saw him, who heard his preaching, who knew him at least on a physical level. They had spoken with him, and yet they were still blind to this Christ. Judas lived with Christ for 3 years, saw his miracles, but despite that, he did not trust in Christ. The priests and the religious leaders, they saw Christ's miracles, but they condemned him as a blasphemer. But Jesus says at the end of the book of John, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And the word teaches us that the Holy Spirit working in our hearts is the one who teaches us to truly see him. Therefore, friends, when you read from Scripture, when you hear the preaching of God's word, when you attend Bible studies, listen carefully to them, pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in order that you might not pass over or be blind to Jesus Christ. There are many people in this world, brothers and sisters, who, like the priests in the temple, have spent their lives at least outwardly serving Christ and yet who did not know him. But God gives by the work of the Holy Spirit and by his word confirmation of the truth of Jesus Christ. Second of all, congregation, notice here Simeon's Savior. Simeon's Savior. Look with me at verse 29 through 32. He says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." When Simeon took Christ in his arms, friends, he blesses God for who Jesus is. And what is it that he sees about Christ? Simply put, Simeon sees in Christ the Savior of the world. He sees in Christ the salvation that God has prepared for all peoples. He sees in Christ the Savior. And then he explains exactly what this means. He says that Christ is the Savior to the Gentiles. He says that Christ did not only come for the nation of Israel, but he came as a light to the nations as well. The rest of Scripture, friends, proclaims this. From the very beginning, when Israel became the people of God, in Genesis chapter 12, some 2,000 years before, God had promised to Abraham, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And as the people of Israel waited for the coming of this Christ, they heard time and time again that these promises were not only for the people of Israel, but for all peoples. Isaiah chapter 9 says, "Those who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 49, where God says of Christ, "I will give you a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." When Simeon saw Jesus, then he saw a Savior who is the light of every nation. Do you understand what this means, congregation? Most of you gathered here tonight are part of the Gentiles, the nations that Simeon was speaking of. But Simeon can see that Jesus is this Savior for the nations. That anyone who sees the light of Jesus Christ, who comes to Him, receives salvation. Whether he be from the United States, Brazil, Mexico, China, any other corner of the world, Christ is the light of all peoples. Simeon speaks also of Christ as the Savior of the Jews. He had in his mind not only the people around him, but also his own people, his own nation. Christ is the fulfillment of every promise, the hope of every Jew faithful to God. He is the glory of Israel, the sum and substance of all their hopes. He is their consolation. And although many Jews today reject Christ, and many in this day as well, there are yet some Jews who see that Christ is the Messiah. They know that Christ is the glory of Israel. And brothers and sisters, tomorrow is Christmas, the time of year in which explicitly we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ, His incarnation, the fact that He took on flesh. Many of you have likely spent the last few weeks putting up decorations, making cookies, preparing your house for people who are going to come over for Christmas, buying presents, listening to Christmas carols. But when so much emphasis is put on the infant Jesus, and when there is so much other things that come around when it comes to Christmas, it can be very easy to lose sight of this Christ proclaimed by Simeon. It can be very easy to think of Jesus as that little infant in the manger and nothing more. And if you were to go out to the world and ask what people celebrate in Christmas, I think that a vast majority of people would probably give you any number of reasons. We celebrate the little baby Jesus. We celebrate the true meaning of Christmas, Santa Claus. We celebrate family. We celebrate this, that, the other thing. I can't wait for presents to come. And we forget about the point of it all. It may be overblown. The true point of Christmas is not family, as wonderful as family is. The true point of Christmas is not the presents, is not the decorations. The true point of Christmas is Jesus Christ, who came to a world dark in sin, in ugliness, to a world blind, to a world that did not know Him and was not expecting Him. And Simeon, one of the few people who then was expecting the Christ, declares Christ the Savior. Do you know this Savior, congregation? Do you know Him who bowed Himself down to become a man, and then who stooped lower and lower and lower? Congregation, the birth of Jesus Christ is a moment of wonderful glory, but it is also a moment of humiliation for our Savior. Because Christ deigned to walk among sinful human beings.
to be clothed in dust for our sakes. Do you know the Savior that we proclaim? Do you know the Savior that Simeon proclaims, congregation? When you celebrate Christmas, remember Christ for who He truly is, the light of the nations, the glory of His people Israel. And third, brothers and sisters, we ought to see here too Simeon's stumbling block. Simeon's stumbling block. I'm sure you can imagine, congregation, how surprised Mary and Joseph would have been at hearing this stranger speak about their son in this way. Certainly, they remembered what the angel had declared to Mary and to Joseph. They remembered what the shepherds had heard. They remembered all these things that they had seen in the preparation and the delivery of Jesus Christ. And yet, brothers and sisters, there was such a massive difference, an inconceivable difference, between what they heard proclaimed of Jesus the Savior and this infant burping, spitting up, wailing in their arms. It certainly would have been very difficult for them to understand, to conceive of this Christ, though they trusted in the Word of God. What Simeon said here was certainly staggering to them. Simeon here uses the consternation of Jesus' parents to tell his parents, there will be those who do not believe, who refuse to believe, who are unable to believe in Christ's salvation. That is to say, the difference between the physical eyes and the eyes of faith will be too big of a difference for some to overcome. For some, Christ will be a stumbling block. Look with me at verse 33 through 35. Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This passage may seem a bit confusing at first glance, especially that parenthetical comment, congregation, but Simeon merely wishes to say one thing, that Christ is controversial. Some who hear about Christ will accept him, and some will reject him. Some will see his light, others will be blinded. Some will love Christ, some will hate him. But for all people, the way in which they respond to Christ will reveal the state of their hearts. He says that this Christ, this Jesus, would be for the rising and the falling of many. And there were many in Christ's life who were shaken by Christ's coming. Many people who could not bear the thought of this humble man being God Himself. And he says that Christ will be a man, a sign spoken against. And there were many who could not abide him and who would speak against him and say, surely this cannot be the Christ. Some, many, because of his humility. Nathanael said, can there be anything good that comes out of Nazareth? The people of Nazareth themselves saying, this is not this the son of Joseph the carpenter and Mary, and are not his brothers and his sisters with us? Many people said, this cannot be the one we're waiting for. It was a sign spoken against. And Simeon says that all this will culminate in pain for Mary. The sword shall pierce your soul also. We saw this prophecy, or we see this prophecy, congregation, fulfilled when Christ was upon the cross and Mary watching him die, as all those who despised Christ, blinded by their inability to see the Savior for who he was, put him to death. For the unbeliever, congregation, Christ is a stumbling block. Some do not see the Savior as he ought to be seen. The Jews in Jesus' time had very different expectations when they thought of the Messiah. Waiting for a king, a warrior, someone strong and powerful, not expecting a child, not expecting a suffering servant, not expecting a man whose sweat and blood were mixed upon the cross. For them, Christ became a stumbling block, a stone of offense, and Israel shaken by him. While some trusted, many refused to see the truth. Therefore, friends, if you, like Simeon, see with the eyes of faith, you should not be surprised when your family, your friends, some within this church, some people that you will see this Christmas, when they are blinded by their perceptions of him. Do not be surprised when there are people who do not see Christ as a Savior, who do not see the light and the glory of him. The Word of God tells us that these people are dead. They cannot get beyond the physical. When they go to church or when they celebrate Christmas, it's not because of their hope in Christ. If you, friend, are one of these people, if you now think of Christmas as simply a time to get together with family or a time to have presents, look to Simeon here. Christ is a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. If you are offended by Christ, then know that God's word proclaims him to be the only Savior, the only King, the only Redeemer. There is no hope except in him. If on the other hand, congregation, you like Simeon, see the Christ, then rejoice. This Christ is the one who is the light to the nations, the glory of his people Israel. He is the one who came to redeem us, who became man, humbled himself, whose blood paid the price of our sin upon the cross. And when you see Christ as an infant at Christmas, congregation, do not forget that which comes later. That Mary's soul was pierced at the sight of this, of the death of her son. That Christ was to die. But for our salvation. Finally, congregation, in conclusion, I remind you this. If Christ is not the stumbling block, then we have emptied him of his glory. Christ came as a humble servant. Don't proclaim him to your family simply as a little infant. When you meet with your family and with your friends this Christmas, proclaim him light, glory. Don't be surprised when they stumble. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would teach us to rejoice in the Savior. To say with Simeon, now Let your servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Lord, we pray that you would teach us to rejoice such in Christ that a glimpse of him is worth our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.